You're listening to the number one live call-in podcast for real estate agents and professionals all around the world. World-class guests, breaking news, and you with your hosts, Johnny Awesome and Jimmy Fantastic. You are on Free For All Friday.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is Jimmy Fantastic.
It's hard. It's hard. My voice is still not there.
It's getting there.
I was trying to whisper through that. It didn't work so well.
Yeah, it's getting there.
I realized people are in the background being like, what are they doing? Where are they chanting?
Right.
The other thing that I noticed, too, for
it
those...
was like, like a secret, like, what do they call that? Like, where they embed things into commercials? Subliminal.
Oh, subliminal, subliminal messaging.
Subliminal messaging. You're whispering with subliminal messaging.
You will subscribe.
Yes.
You will like us and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Right. It's horrible.
And you're supposed to say it five times, right? So throughout the show today, we have to say like and subscribe at least five more times.
It's funny because I just noticed something, Jimmy. You know, we are creatures of habit. And during our intro song, I'll show you guys that are watching, for those of you listening to the podcast, or if you're on the Breakfast Club line, you can't see this. But, you know, the song is groovy. So we're dancing, right?
Yeah,
and I'm doing this. What's really funny is, I don't know if you caught yourself doing this, but I'm doing this over here. You know, greatest show. And you thought you subconsciously, I was pointing, you went to go speak. Did you realize you did that? I watched, that's why I was laughing. I watched you do that early because you're used to pointing at you to let you know when to speak. But I was just dancing.
Yeah.
And you almost started speaking.
It's subliminal messaging.
It's subliminal messaging. It's
and subscribe.
It's why it's, it's why it's really important. Speaking of really important, good morning. Good morning, Jeff. We'll be making an announcement about that.
Soon. Yeah,
it's important
to
you, sir.
Yes.
And, you know, my voice still on, what do they call it? Still on the Fritz? Is that a thing?
I know Fritz.
Yeah, me Rapids, too. Right? Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah,
so sorry, Fritz, that my voice is all over you.
There's way too, many, way too many jokes we could make right now. You being all over Fritz.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway.
That's how the show started.
Yes, which is funny because today might be, and this is no joke, today might be one of the most important shows and topics that we've ever talked about.
Yeah.
Dead serious. It's and we're going to get into this. I came across a study in my studies. And I've seen it before, and I've seen it represented before. It's but now I have the source content, and I went through their course. It's the 1979 study of Kelly and Connor's emotional cycle of change. And we're going to be talking about this today because something that I realized as they were talking about this, I realized there's a loop in here that real estate agents constantly get caught in. And the other thing that was really interesting during this is they were talking about a certain type of person that gets stuck in these cycles.
Right.
And there's a certain personality type that are prey for people to go out there and to advertise to in a specific way to make them constantly jump off the cycle they're on and go after that shiny new thing.
Yeah.
And it isn't just real estate agents. It just so happens that our industry brings the most of those type of people in. So today we're going to be talking about that. And why is it? We're in February, and this is why this is important. This podcast is being recorded in February. Of course, you can watch us live every single week if you're just listening to us on the podcast later. This right now, there is a lot of people that started their business. We've been running business planning clinics, right? And already it's like they've stopped. And what's crazier, Jimmy, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this time of year is the time of year, and some of you might have already fallen into this, where all of a sudden you're buying all these new systems. You know, hey, I just got this new company that sends postcards every single month now for me on my behalf. Like this year, the beginning of the year for companies that support our industry is like a cash grab for them.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Because, like,
Yeah. And it's funny, like, and then there's a couple things that happen with this. Like you and I had a chance to like whiteboard this thing out and talk about it.
Yeah. Yep.
But we, like, there's another thing that happens too, I feel, with agents. The agents that were actually ahead of the curve, right? That actually that actually planned this out like in November, December, hit the ground running in January, had a good January, and now they're going to be on, they're about to be on this real estate roller coaster of,
yeah,
I'm so busy, I don't know what to do now.
Right, right.
Right? Like, oh my God, I had three closings or four closings in January. But they're not looking, they're not even looking at February yet.
Yes.
Right? They don't know how many they're going to close in February because they got so busy in January that they don't know what to do in February.
And then all the work comes in on top of it. So now we're feeling stressed because we got all this work that's coming in. And so this is what we're going to be discussing today. And not only that, but the importance of realizing where you're at when you come to this. And then I will post this chart on our Facebook page. If you're listening to the podcast, it's in the show notes. If you're with us live, again, I'll post it on our Facebook page sometime today after the show has ended.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cool. Like it was. So for those of you that Johnny and I got to meet this week and whiteboard this thing out, which is really cool to because then it's like, well, here's where we're at. Here's where they're like, here's where people go. Here's what happens when you hit that spot. And again, you know, we talked about this on a show earlier that we run into this as well, guys. So it's not like we're just like. We're not this perfect thing that runs this thing like seamlessly.
No.
We need help too, right? So we need there's other people that, you know, Johnny and I have to lean on and talk to. And
well, you know, what's funny is sometimes we don't. It's interesting actually that you bring. I don't know if you're setting me up for this or not, but it's interesting that you bring that up. So when we had Dr. Abelson, and you can go back and listen to that episode, when we had Dr. Abelson on, he runs that super super stringent whatever 123 point test or whatever.
Yeah.
When you get this document back about your personality and who you are, there's this one section that talks about like it's there's 100 things listed, and your 1 through 10 is your top 10 strengths, like what you are the strongest doing, right? And then the bottom 90 through 100, they're the things that you're the absolute worst at. What's really interesting about me and my personality type is that in the very, like the top 10 is coaching and helping other people see and expand their dreams and getting people to reach farther. Like it's all that stuff.
Right.
But what's crazy is at the bottom 90 through 100, like number 100 for me is being able to do that to myself.
Being coachable.
Not being coachable because I am coachable, but it's being able to self do that.
Right.
So like, there's the
accountability
certain,
piece. Right?
Yeah. Like, because there's certain people, well, not even the accountability piece. Being able just to sit down and figure my own mind out, right? Without any outside Johnny. Influence. What? What is that?
Figuring your mind out, like you say that like it's easy.
Well,
you know,
yeah. It's not so much as figuring it out as it is to figure out how to make things work around.
Right.
It.
Yeah. The synapses snap. Right. We need those the spark.
So. So it's really interesting, and Dr. Abelson, we talked about that on the show, where it's interesting that my largest strength for other people is my weakest strength for myself. But being able to know that allows me to say, oh, man, so I was on with my coach this last week, and I said, you know, I sat down to go do my own business planning. And if I'm talking to somebody else, I can walk you through and dream build, and I can do all that stuff. When I'm sitting there talking to myself, my mind goes blank. It's this weird thing that I'm not very big a fan of. But then again, okay, cool. So you wake up in the morning and you can't see. You can do two things. You can hate yourself because of it, or you can put your glasses on.
Yeah.
And what we realized, really, Jimmy, I didn't tell you this part. I'll just tell everybody. Why not? Is we realized is that there was pride blocking me from putting my glasses on. And I was sitting there talking to my coach, and he said, well, you know, who's one of the best, you know, who do you know that's really good at putting business plans together? And I said, Jimmy Fantastic is. So as soon as our coaching call was done yesterday, I called Jimmy and I said, hey, Jimmy, this is where I'm the weakest at. I'm the best at helping other people with it. But when it comes to myself, I need that coach. I need that person on the outside of the car trunk to help guide me.
Yeah.
Will you help me set my business plan up? So I called him yesterday to go over that with him, or at least to set that up. And so, you know, it's realizing where we're at and realizing who you are and where your strengths and weaknesses are. And again, sometimes you can't be really prideful. Like, it sucks when you go, man, I can help everybody else do this. Why can't I just sit down?
Why can't
and
I
do
just
it?
Do it? Right?
But that doesn't help. That gets you stuck. Whys get you stuck. Hows get you forward.
Yeah. That's a very valid point. And I feel the same. Like, if, you know, I it's like I have to get with mentor and it, like once a week now. You know what I mean? Like I get with my mentor once a week now.
Okay. Are you, yeah, gotcha.
What?
Sorry. It's early. You just said, I have get with mentor. Well, you're a caveman for a second. Mentor, come home.
But yeah, I have to get with my mentor like once a week just to like make sure that I'm doing, because like, this is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And we are prideful and we are, you know, I'm also, you know, you know me well enough. I'll get through that wall one way or another,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
I'll just put my head down and go through it.
Yeah.
When I could walk around the door.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's like, well, stop me. It's like, but then I get all stubborn enough that I'm just going to go through it anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of walking around the door.
Yeah. Right. You right. Know, because somebody just said, hey, there's a
door.
There's a better way over
yeah.
here.
And yeah. I went, no, I got it. Like,
right.
You know,
boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Eventually I'll get through there. Yeah. But man, like it is super important to have someone or that person or that thing. Like you said, you got a coach. I've been getting with my mentor once a week. And like, because there is... It is some sort of the accountability piece, right? Like,
yeah.
you have to have some sort of accountability to, it's hard to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah. Well,
for some people.
Well, not only that, but a quote that I've always heard is, it's hard to take your crappy old self into your bright new future. Again, it's just most people, and there's a very small fraction of people that don't need somebody to help them walk through this. They're just going to go.
Right.
But most people need some sort of guidance at some point in time, if not all the time, and we just don't realize it, so that we can move forward together.
Yeah, and I have to keep thinking about like the things that we've talked about. Like I said, this year I wanted to be more intentional.
Yes.
Well, by me wanting to be more intentional, what I have to do is get more clarity on things. And instead of running through that wall to do my thing, I need to get more clarity, be more clear, and be more intentional about walking through the door.
Yeah.
Right? Because then I think about being intentional to me, too, is about being more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's instead of doing three things wrong before I get it right, why don't I just ask a couple questions? It goes back to the sharpening the axe.
Yeah, yep.
Sharpen the axe before I start chopping the wood.
Yeah.
I've always been the person that just starts chopping the wood instead of sharpening the axe. So I have to be more intentional with figuring out things to do easier than instead of just doing things.
Well, and again, like you said, sometimes that just goes back to coaching. It's letting you know, like you said, the coach, sometimes the coach won't even take you to the door. A real good coach will just say, you know, there's a door that's there.
Right.
Right. So we're going to get into this, guys. This is the, again, the emotional cycle of change and why this is important real quick, just so I can catch up on comments. Where'd my mouse go? There we go. Good morning to you too, Lisa. She says it's easier to stand back and look at others' problems and solutions than to stand back and to look at our own problems and solutions. That's true. And that's true. And not only does that happen, but if we can get lost in somebody else's problems, now all of a sudden we don't have to focus on our own. And you know what else happens is we focus on other people's successes sometimes too. This is why people get all wound up in the sports, or you get the agent that spends all day watching YouTube videos, because they're getting wound up in somebody else's success instead of taking the time to go after their and get their own. Ron, who I never know what he's talking about, said Sammy Flex brought him here. So kudos to Sammy Flex, who must have subscribed and liked us.
If he didn't, like
if he didn't, you should do that. I think we're up to four. So here's how this works. Now, this is a chart, and like I said, we'll stick this up on the Facebook page. But everything starts in phase one. And if you can picture or imagine a line chart on the left-hand side of it. What is that? A line? Oh, thanks. Are you? You look like a cheerleader right now.
I was trying to give you a chart.
Jimmy is a cheerleader. Yeah. go fight, win.
YMCA.
Yeah. What you have is you have your emotional state clear on the left-hand side, right? When you have your graph that goes up and down. And realistically, what that is there's a dividing line between optimism and pessimism. And when we enter something new, especially us, this is real, really good for real estate agents. We go through phase one. And phase one is what's known as uninformed optimism, okay? What this means is that there's a shiny new thing. Even getting into real estate for most of us was uninformed optimism.
Yeah.
hey, I got this great new career that I can make as much money as I want. You're uninformed. And because you're uninformed, you're super optimistic about
it. Yeah, you're super pumped up about it. You got your license. You're ready to rock and roll.
I'm going to make so much money in the next 3 months.
I watched HGTV.
I'm going to renovate this house and have side properties.
I'm just going to flip houses and have rental property.
I've already got money down on my yacht.
Super excited about this whole real estate thing.
And I only have to work 20 hours a week.
Yeah, I don't even have to do that. I don't even have to do it 30 minutes a day.
Yeah. No prospect.
30 minutes a day, things are going to be fantastic. And I'm a real estate agent.
I started my Instagram account.
Oh, I don't even know that I have to join a board yet. I don't know that I got to pay dues. Right, I don't know that I have splits. I don't know that I have anything. I don't know what's going on. I don't know that I need a brokerage. I don't know.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah,
I just went into this and said, I'm going to be a real estate agent.
Right. And we're super high on that. We're like, yeah, let's go. Yeah, right.
And okay. You should be.
Right. Right. Well, that's what gets you started, right? Because it launches you. Yeah. You're motivated to go. But here's what happens. Then we go into phase two. And phase two, it drops us down on this emotional ladder, right? Phase two, we drop down into what's called informed pessimism. Now all of a sudden we're like, whoa. Like all the stuff that Jimmy just said. Like I got my Instagram set up, but now I got to join, you know, a board, right? Oh no, the boards are fighting with each other. Do I join GMAR and go with their thing or Real Comp and go with their thing?
Well, then this one has Flex MLS. This one has Real Comp.
Yeah, this one over here does a bunch of stuff with our money that they shouldn't, and this one over here fought against them, so they kicked them off.
Yeah.
A story for another day. Hashtag stay with GMAR. You're not going to join. So I'll join signs. I don't give a crap.
I just need to know that I have the right, like, go to the right tools to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I get it. It's a thing. But the at the end of the day, all of a sudden, there's all these things. Oh, by the way, prospecting isn't as easy. You mean you're telling me that I need to spend 2 to 3, possibly 4 hours a day doing this thing called prospecting?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was kind of excited about it at first, but now I'm doing it. Right. Yeah.
But I'm way better face-to-face with people.
Yeah. So then what ends up happening is this, guys. So we started out really super excited. Again, we're walking through the life of a realtor here. We started off really excited about life. We thought it was going to be great. We had all this optimism. And then all of a sudden we get reality, okay? The reality is what? In real estate, you have to work.
Yeah.
And what's really funny, if we're really honest with ourselves, there's a lot of people that we run into, and myself included, that thought going into real estate as a business, for some odd reason, was a shortcut not to have to work.
Yeah. Because we see, like, here's the thing, too, and we see this, like, this goes back to, like, the social proof, right? We see, and whether it's social proof or social lies, I don't know, but like, you see some highly successful real estate agents.
Yes.
Some very successful real estate agents, especially here locally, right? There's some very successful real estate agents.
Locally here in Michigan.
Yeah. And nationally, now that we've expanded and we're national and international or whatever, international.
Shout out to Al all of a sudden, I hear.
But you see, like, a successful agent, right? Well, it's then in your mind, like, well, that he or she's not any smarter than I am.
No, sometimes they're dumber.
Yeah. But they figured something out, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about
systems and
that.
Processes or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I look at like you look at this on a very surface level because we haven't dug into it. We look at it at a very surface level. Like I can do that. Why can't I can do that same thing and I can be very successful and I can have my Instagram account look like that.
Yeah,
and
away.
Yeah, and I can get out of the Lambo and I can get out of the Rolls Royce and I can get out of the
and I can
be
sit
out of
on
a boat
the yacht.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah. I can do all that. Well, what we don't take the time to look into is it took 20 years for that person to get there.
And they rented all that stuff.
Right. Or, it's all props. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really theirs, right?
Well, it's like the Island Boys. I don't know. I don't know why I was watching a documentary on them the other day.
Well, first of all, I can't believe there's a documentary on them.
Well, documentaries come out so fast. Like in today's day and age, how fast a documentary comes out is
when
just
is the Free for All Friday documentary coming out?
One of us has to die, Jimmy.
One of the Island Boys is dead?
No. Well, yeah. Their career.
But was it a career?
No. But, like, you know, like, come to find out, they rented all that stuff. And, you know, we see this on the inside here at real estate a lot, too. Like, there's certain people out there, and you guys probably know a couple of them, who when you first got in this business, you were like, man, wow, look at all these properties that they're listing, and look at all these, you know, shots that they're at. They're out on these boats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, they were in other people's homes, and they were in, you know, the boat was, you know, attached to a house, or they rented it for a day, and yep. It was all for the gram, quote unquote, right? So we get this, we have this optimism. You know, I remember personal story going back to real estate. Sometimes that optimism, that first phase, comes from, like you said, uninformed people. And again, we get preyed on sometimes in this industry. I'll never forget the person that introduced me into real estate. She said, you're going to make $100,000 your first year. It'll be so easy. And you know, we have this world-class training program, so come on over, and you know, in no time you'll be rolling in it. Well, then I'm like excited. I moved my entire family down here. Brand new family. I had a 3-month-year-old kid. We moved into a HUD home so that we could repair it while I was going to school, because that optimism pushed us through there, right? Then I'm sitting in the office every day and realize there's actually no training going on here.
Right.
Like, there was no training program. We don't know what to do once you pass school. You know, the real estate school teaches you all the important stuff that you need to do, like fiduciary duty, which I do think is important. But all right, now how do I go out like and actually use this license that I have, right?
Yeah, what do I do? What is it? Yeah.
So then I had to learn that, right? So then what ends up happening is we learn that stuff. We end up with that informed pessimism. And then what happens from there, and this is where we get stuck. This is the important part to know, guys. From there, we go into what's known as the Valley of Despair. The Valley of Despair is this really, really low point that happens to every entrepreneur. Again, this was a study on entrepreneur, but I mean, that's what we are, guys. And what happens is you hit this spot where you're like, man, I've just been grinding.
Yep.
And nothing seems to be working.
Haven't had a closing.
I've been, you know, they told me that if I got on the phones every day for 2 to 3 to 4 hours a day, that I would be closing stuff within my first 3 months. I've been doing it now for 6 months and I haven't closed anything.
Yep.
Right? And it sucks because at this is that point where Jimmy and we didn't know what we were saying, but we're basically saying phase four is coming, right? Because phase three is the Valley of Despair. And what happens is people get stuck there and they think that this is it. Like, can I do this? Self-doubt comes in. Because remember, the further down you go, the more your thoughts and your attitude, you get kind of depressed because every day you're showing up. This is where the thoughts of, should I get a quote-unquote real job start coming in, right? Family members are like, are you, you know, in real estate?
Are you sure about that?
You haven't done anything yet, right?
This is always that illustration that I like too. There's the illustration of two people like digging, right? And they're both getting closer to the gold, right? But they're digging, and one who's probably closer than the other gives up and says, this will never work, and he walks out.
Yeah.
But he's one shovel away from the gold.
Yes, yes.
He's one shovel. The other one just keeps going through and he gets there.
Yes.
Right? And I love that illustration because it's so true. Like, you're just shoveling. So you got your head down and you don't know sometimes you don't even really know what you're doing. Right? Just be honest. Like, you're dialing every day, but you're hoping something lands, but you don't really know what you're doing.
Meanwhile, some guy that can't even sit on the phone, like, it's his, and there. Listen, there's phenomenon that happen. We've known people that have done that. You got some new guy that walks in, it's his first day, he doesn't even know how to talk on the phone. He got 5 listing appointments and closed 2 deals by lunchtime.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm 6 months in. I've read every script. I've called every person in my town. My entire database knows that I'm in real estate. Now, again, there's some tweaks that need to be made, but here's what happens. People get stuck in that valley of despair, and what happens is sometimes they slide just completely off the chart, and then that's when they become begrudged.
Okay? Yes.
And one of the things that I loved is, be careful when you're in that spot, like it hasn't been working. Be careful who you seek advice from, because it's a very dangerous spot to be in, because what happens a lot of times is we go find that person that they're so far down the chart that they've just become, like I said, they've kind of become just rock hard. And,
yeah.
about it, and they're grumpy, a grumpy old man stage now, right, about that thing. So when you say, hey, listen, I'm in real estate, and I've been trying this, that, and the other, oh, we know, right? Oh, that's funny. Flex is Dave? Don't interrupt us like this. We're in a big, I don't know what's going on. That's what happens when you got ADD and you're trying to run a serious show. But what happens is that the grumpy old man will tell you, you know, yeah, well, you know, I tried doing that before too. Like the old retired real estate guy that never really made it, right?
The old curmudgeon real estate agent.
And then we listen to him, and now all of a sudden we're adding on to our confirmational bias of this isn't going to work, right? Yeah. Instead of realizing, like, you got to find the people that have done that and pushed through. And to your point before, when we get into this business, most people look at those people that are out on the yachts or on the Instagram, and like you said, they've had 20 years of success. All they did was continue to dig. They didn't stop here,
right?
And what happens right on the other side of that.
Through the good times, the bad times, the times I didn't close, like, you know what I mean? The market shifts, the, you know, and again, like, look, guys, everybody said, well, 2023 was rough. And 2023 was rough in our business. It was rough in our industry, right? Like, 2024 should be better. And I see that. Look, it's a voting year, right? So rates are going to go down because they traditionally do in a year, because everybody, all the politicians are trying to save their jobs. So they're going to lower rates and lower gas prices. Man, have you seen gas prices? They're lower. But so they're going to do that. So 2024 should be a bounce back year for a lot of people. But there was also however many hundreds of thousands of agents that got out of the business in 2023.
Well, and are continuing to, because again, we're at the beginning of a year.
Yeah, because it's hard.
And at the beginning of the year, this is what happens. So here's the interesting part. There are five phases to this, guys. So again, phase number one, unintentional optimism. We're jumping into it. We're excited. We don't know anything, but you know, this is the best opportunity we could ever have. Then we start to learn what we need to do, and we have informed optimism. So our energy and emotion on it starts to drop a little bit. Then it feels like you're stuck there and you're not moving anywhere. That drops you down into the valley of despair. But phase four, all of a sudden, in fact, we have somebody on the team that I've watched this happen with. I mean, I won't name names, but I remember her coming in and she had a second job and then she quit that job. And, you know, was that a mistake? And there was a lot of second guessing. And it was like, nothing was coming together for her or her sister, it seemed like, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like,
I'm glad you didn't name names.
Well, we're in front of, you know, 100,000 people. I ain't gonna know the two people that we're talking about. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you know, I was talking to one of them yesterday, and this will be their best year ever.
Yeah, things
I 100% know it's going to be their best year, because they've already started it out being a bang. They already started out in the 1%. I don't even know if they know that.
Right.
They're already in the 1%. Like, that's the crazy part.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, look at where the attitude shift has gone up, right, from valley of despair. Now all of a sudden we're in what's known as informed pessimism. All right. So we're still kind of like, you know, and then all of a sudden that informed pessimism switches into this informed optimism. So it's phase four is both of those kind of combined together. Right. It was really difficult, but now, boom. And now we're launching. Right. Yep. Hey, I finally got my first closing in. This is the greatest business in the world. Right? Like, yay, it finally came together.
Yeah, when 2 months ago it was like, this place sucks.
Yeah, 2 months ago it was like, man, should I go back and work at a pawn shop again? I don't know. I'll just throw something random out there. But, like, it's all of a sudden you have that first little blimp of success, and you feel it. Now you know what's happening. And then from there is the hockey stick that we always teach.
Yep.
I was telling Jimmy, I said, until I went through this part, we'd always taught the end of this, the hockey stick, where you're kind of stagnant and then you blow up. Well, that really starts right here in phase four. There's three phases before that. And that hockey stick, once we have that, all of a sudden we have this informed op. So now we know what it takes. We've done it. We have proof in our pockets. We know now. Yeah. Okay, yes, we can do this. Then it starts to launch, and then you have your hockey stick, which is where everything jumps up, and that's where success and fulfillment come in. So those are your five phases. Now, the reason why that's important for real estate agents to know is there's a couple things. Number one, let's talk about that phase four again, Jimmy. when people finally have that taste of success. When you're in phase three, that valley of despair, you really have to borrow the faith sometimes of other people. And again, you got to be careful who you're talking to, because how many times have we told agents, hey, stick with it. You're doing the right things. Like we've had over and over again, you're doing the right things. You just got to stick with it. Stick with it. You're doing the right thing. You're going to make it. It's going to happen. Just stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Right?
Yeah.
Like we just have to repeat that to people because they're really, really low down there. And then because they don't know themselves, that's the thing that's hard about real estate. We could tell somebody that if you prospect every single day, more than likely within a 3-month period of time, if you are diligent about that, more than likely you will have business coming in.
Yeah.
If it takes longer, it might take longer, but on average you will have business coming in, right? But if you stop there and try to restart, man, it's detrimental to your business.
That's the hardest thing, because, like, you know, I talk about this all the time when I do my business planning stuff. It's such a momentum business, right? And my idea is like it's like pushing a big rock up a hill. Right, like I'm rolling this big rock up a hill, and there's times that it'll scoot back down on you, and then you got to push it up more, and then it'll scoot back down on you, and then you got to push it up a little more. Right, eventually you're gonna get to the top of that hill, and it's gonna go downhill. Right, but there's those times where it gets hard, like it's not easy. Remember, for time frame's sake, if people understood, like if I got a buyer that came to me today and said I want to buy a house, great. I've got a client, okay? Now, I'm going to take this client out. We're going to go shopping. We're going to look at a couple houses. I'm going to write up an offer. I'm still 60 days out from getting anything paid,
correct,
right? Like, I'm still, like, in that, my, like, that, and I think that's another shock to a lot of agents, right?
It's, yeah.
Like, is that we talk about that, like, delayed gratification, right?
Yeah, which is funny because you take a bunch of ADD people who can't do delayed gratification to save their life, and we threw us all into a business where the entire business is delayed gratification,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because I can get a buyer to say yes today, but it's going to take me 60 days to get them to get to a closing table,
right?
So it's just like that, and so that's the hard part, right? And it may take longer. I got a really picky client. They don't like this house. They don't like that house.
To live on this street only.
Yeah, I only want to be in this street, in this house.
On the south side of the street.
Yeah.
That's where all the best dogs
are. So you basically have three houses I can choose from.
Yeah, and none of them are for sale.
None of them are for sale. Great.
Well, as soon as they get on for sale, I'm buying it for sure.
But like that's
that's my every Birmingham client ever. By the way, I don't know if anybody out there ever worked Birmingham, Michigan. I don't know how that seemed to be my every Birmingham client.
But like, and there isn't a lot for sale in Birmingham, right?
No.
It's like when you do sell something,
I want the house with the yard.
Yeah,
in Birmingham,
right?
Yes. That, what are you talking about?
But you can get lakefront in Birmingham.
Yeah, you sure can. When it rains.
But like, yeah, you're gonna have those. But and so that's that hard part where you got to get through this. Even if someone comes to you today and says, "I want to list my house with you," right? Great. So now we got to get the house cleaned up. Like I'm working with a client right now that. Like, you know, I went out, we're going to list their house, but they got some work to do, right? They got to paint. They got to do some things. They had to fix some stuff in the kitchen. There's some things they got to fix before they can get it on the market. Well, I've been doing this long enough. I get it. The guy, okay, let me know when it's ready. I'll send the photographer out. But now as a new agent, I'm not going to call them every day. I'm like, hey, did you paint that kitchen yet? Like,
no.
Can you hurry up? You know what I mean? Because now I'm like, shit.
You're knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Hey, I brought that paint color that you liked the other day. Yeah. And I just happened to be in town.
Do you want me to come over and paint it for you?
Yeah. Like,
and good. Look, if that's what it takes, right? Sometimes.
Well, what's funny about that is, again, going back to what you're saying, how many times, and look, there's two school thoughts here, okay? School thought number one is, you know, the legal school thought is don't do stuff like this because you're reliable. But how many people have we known that agents that we've known, especially the newer ones, that they show up to put a ramp on the staircase?
Yeah.
Or they go and help them scrape popcorn off the ceiling because they do need that commission faster.
And here's another thing I'm going to tell you, too, And this really hits home with me. So as a team leader, right? As a team leader, so some of these guys that have been in the industry for 20 years that have had massive success, right? That actually own the yacht.
Yeah.
They actually bought the yacht, right? They're successful and they actually bought the yacht. But they give bad advice sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, just get a different client. Get rid of that one. You don't need to go over there and scrape the ceiling. Who does that? Well, I do because I only have one client.
Yeah.
You have 1,000. Yeah. I have one, right? So, but they give bad advice sometimes.
Because they forgot.
Because they forgot. And they're like, well, just go to somewhere else. You don't need, why are you over there doing this? Why are you doing that? Like why are you going over there taking, because this is all I got right now.
I heard a vet tell a newer agent the other day not to take rentals. And I was like, what a huge missed opportunity.
Especially
that's
if you're new
horrible
in this business.
Advice. You know, when I first got started, I realized all the vets didn't want rentals. And I remember making a marketing piece. It was me riding a donkey. Yeah, I don't know. And I just put, don't want to deal with your renting clients. You know, contact me, right? And at the time, at the company I started at, there was no referral fee for rentals. Like it was just the thing that you didn't have to do.
Yeah, everybody just gave away.
And you didn't have to pay anything back to the company off of rentals.
Right.
So I'm like, wait, I have to do a split if I sell a regular house, but if I do rentals, I don't have to. That's how I got involved with investors in the first place. Because I just started taking everybody's rentals.
Yeah.
Like I loved them. And then the crazy thing is, especially if you're a newer agent, don't forget, rentals eventually are going to need to purchase. So I did the thing that nobody else did at the time, and now everybody has a database online. But I had an online database, and I made sure to call them the 8 months. And I would flip these people 2 or 3 times, even if I flipped them into a new rental.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that as a newer agent, even as a seasoned agent, there's nothing wrong. As long as you have a bottom. Now, I did have a bottom. This is something else that I did that a lot of people were like, how did you do that? I had a limit that I couldn't go below. And if I went below that limit, I signed it in my buyer's agency contract, so I made sure that was right. But if I didn't go below, if I went below that limit, then the renter had to make up for the rest of the fee. And I had renters that would pay $200 or $300 extra to make up for the fee, right? Because I was actually helping them find the house the way that they wanted. But the point is, you know, like you said, you really got to be careful. You know, if you have somebody that's at this 20,000 foot view and they're way out there now, they might not be able to relate with you as much as somebody that's just a little bit ahead of you, right?
Right.
And so exactly figuring out where to get that from is super important.
People forget where they come from. People forget where they come from. We all started in this business at some point. And not all of us, and again, I know agents, I know agents too that have started and looked really successful.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like right out of the gate, it's like, geez, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their dad retired from real estate and handed the whole book of business over, and all of a sudden they're like the greatest. I'm like, whoa, man. Like, but their dad literally handed them the whole book of business, and their dad retired as an agent. Well, retired, but air quotes that because agents don't ever retire.
Well, no, they quit.
Right.
That's what happens. What's really interesting about that, too, is I've seen that happen, and then I've seen the person then get out because they didn't learn.
They didn't
go through the hard knocks to learn how to handle what they got.
Yep.
And they just ended up out. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I'm going to try not to give details because I don't want to. This was one of my first mentors. So anyway, he had a son. He's really big in real estate. Everybody's asked him to be a coach and you know to launch his own platform. The dude was one of the largest in Michigan, and you never heard of him because he was completely under the radar, right? And it's funny because his son got involved in real estate. Of course, he got him involved in real estate. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like he just tried shoving all this business on him without his son having to go through the life portion of this. And then he couldn't keep up with it. So he just started flying drones for his dad. And, you know, now he does drone photography. But I probably said way too much, but anyway,
he eats marijuana cookies and flies drones.
Yeah, the point about all this is this, guys, and this is the important part. This is the most important part for you to hear this entire podcast. I'm going to repeat this. When it comes to the emotional cycles and the emotional cycle of change, you start out with that uninformed optimism, phase one, way up here. We're super excited. Then you go into informed pessimism, phase two, where now we know what it takes and we're a little bit. Now, I'm going to pause there for a second. Knowing that this happens, this is one of the things I picked up and I thought this is just such a good point. Knowing that this happens gives you all the power in the world.
Yes.
Because if you don't realize what emotional states you're going through and you just think you're going through it, you can get stuck in this depression loop and you don't know, okay, but there's something coming out tomorrow. If you didn't know the sun existed, for instance, and it was always just rainy like it is here in Michigan. I was doing a training in Florida yesterday, and I just told him, I'm like, man, that's crazy. You have the sun out here. You know, in Michigan, I haven't seen it now in 3 months. In fact, we have to bring lights into our, you know, I have a happy light at my desk just because we have to emulate the sun because we don't know what it looks like after a while. But we do know what it is, right? If somebody was born into a world and they had never seen the sun, if they're born into Michigan in the wintertime and it's never been sunny, they might get into this, oh, this is just how weather is always, it's always gray. This is where I live, right? Then all of a sudden that sun comes out and it's like, what is this? All right. See, they never knew that, right? They got stuck in that mode. So what happens with us a lot of times is we go through these uninformed optimism, informed pessimism, and then we jump in this valley of despair. And if you don't realize that you're there, you don't have the power to keep yourself motivated enough to realize that you're going to get through it. Knowing that the sun, that's where that hope comes in. If you guys remember talking about, I think it's the episode, The Shock Is Still There, where we talk about hope is the one thing that can keep you on the optimistic side of life.
Right. And I think what we have to remember is, like, there's shared suffering too. Like, we've all gone through this. We've all been through these emotional changes, right? We've all been in the valley of despair at some point with our career. We've all been through this. So again, leaning on people and talking to people is super important, right? You got to find your tribe. You got to find your people. You got to make sure you're around the right people to talk to you about the right things and keep you on that path to success. And if you're going to be in that valley of despair, this is one thing Kurt says all the time. I don't need a handout. I need a hand up.
Yep.
And there's times in our career and things that we do, and it could be, it could be a quarterly thing, right? Like, well, I just need a hand up, man. Like, help me out a little bit. Like, give me something to change my mindset. Give me something to refresh me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because then what that does, and this is what Johnny will put the chart in, but this is what this chart shows you. As soon as you do that, boom, you're right back to the top. You're right back to the thing. Like, you're excited again. You had a closing. You're excited. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had somebody that says yes, and you're right back to the top.
Yep.
What you have to do is you're going to go through these emotional things where you're in this valley of despair, and then you get a new CRM.
Yeah, that's what I was just about ready to hit.
You get a new CRM, and man, I'm back at it. I'm full in. I'm going to get back after it. Like, this is my time to shine. I'm gonna go full back into real estate, and I get that, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Right back to the top.
So this is very interesting. So in this study that was done for entrepreneurs, and again, guys, think about our business and what we have here. You have a bunch of people that are ADD, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of realtors out there, and even if you're not, you're still a realtor, so you still go through this as well. What happens is, in this study, here's what they found, is that personality types like us have an unconscious motivation to constantly go after a dopamine rush. This is very interesting, because what you just said, this is super important to get right here, guys. Most of you and most real estate agents that don't understand how to work emotions, they don't understand the cycle of change, burn themselves out because they go through stages 1 to 3. They never get to stages 4 and 5. Because you go through stages 3, by the time you're in that valley of despair, again, we have this unconscious just desire to constantly jump back up into whatever's new, to whatever is, that new thing, the new shiny object. I wrote
the new
it down
lead
here.
Source, the new CRM, the new...
The variety, novelty, that's it right there. The novelty and something new and something with the variety. So what happens is we were doing the thing that was going to get us there. You were digging with a shovel, and then somebody came along and said, hey, I have a new tool that, you know, that automatically goes, or I've got a new tool.
It's an AI shovel.
I have an AI map that takes you to where the real trout, right? And now what happens is because we have this unawareness that we constantly want to go back towards this newness, like it's just ingrained in us, right? We suffer this cycle short. So now we go from the valley of despair, and instead of working our way through the uncomfortableness to hit the treasure, we go, oh, a new shiny thing. And we jump off the thing that was just about ready to get us there to the success and fulfillment. And we go back up to phase one again because now there's this new way to do business. There's this new thing that's out that's going to get us there. And we get all excited again for it. And then we go, oh, I got to build it.
Right.
Now we're in informed optimism again. And now we start to build that thing up. And guess what? It takes work again. Now we're in the valley of despair. Oh, I guess it didn't work the way that I thought it was going to work. I guess that training, I went to go put that stuff in, and it really didn't work. I switched to a new broker, and I don't know why I get all my free car washes, but I'm not seeing the sell anything more. Like, all this stuff happens for real, guys.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Now, this is where you got to be careful. Our industry, and there's industries out there for people like us, we are prey for people that understand this. This, by the way, is taught in marketing classes. On how to take advantage of people like us so that we can constantly go on that loop. How can we make our little thing shiny enough to get you off of there, to get you that dopamine hit so you buy this program or you buy this specific tool or you switch to this thing all of a sudden or free car washes, whatever it is. There's always this thing that says, yeah, what you're doing right now is, it, you know, we're going to go back up here where it's all super fun and exciting, right? And because us as agents most of the time, We just jump. We jump and go for it. And then there's more work. It's hard work. And now, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have left my last brokerage. This really isn't the best. Maybe I should go back. Maybe I should open my own blah, 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 or whatever it is, right? Or now, you know, like you said, new CRM, cool AI tools. We're not talking about when that stuff is necessary because sometimes it is. But sure, what we are talking about is letting yourself stay in phase three long enough, be uncomfortable long enough. One of the things that they were talking about is you have to hit the wall that 1,000 times to find the crack that one time that you can go through. And as soon as he said that, he didn't use this as an example, but the first thing I thought of was the light bulb. I mean, how many times did we fail and fail and fail and fail and fail? And yep, that's the valley of despair. This script doesn't work for you, but you can try it, and then you're tweaking these words just a little bit, but you're still trying it, consistent, consistent, consistent. And then all of a sudden, you find the one way that will work because you found the 1,000 ways that didn't.
Yep.
And that's when you have that breakthrough and all of a sudden, bing, aha, now I'm informed. I have the knowledge and I know what it's going to take to do this. Now I have that informed optimism. And as long as I keep putting that play in, now I have success. But because we as real estate agents don't stay down there where it's uncomfortable long enough, we keep cycling through phases 1 through 3. We don't get a chance to taste phase 4. And phase 5, the success and fulfillment, is a long faded dream that we once had. And now we become one of those curmudgeoned old realtors,
yep,
that was like, it never really worked, or yep, that team never worked, or that cold calling didn't work for me, or door knocking didn't work. It all works.
Right.
It's just how much time are you spending there, and are you doing enough to hit that gold?
Yeah. And, you were on one right there, buddy. That was good.
There we are.
I felt that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I felt that.
It's all in the voice. Yeah, you know, I don't know why I'm more motivational when I lose my voice.
I felt that. But it's spot on, right? It's so true. We don't, because look, that valley of despair is not a fun place.
No, it sucks.
It sucks really bad. So it's hard to stay in that place because we want to get out of there because it sucks. And so because it sucks, we want to get out of there as fast as we possibly can. But the longer, and I always caution the way I say this, like the longer you stay in the valley of despair, the better it's probably going to be.
Yeah. Well,
don't stay in there forever, right? Like
won't stay in there forever is the point.
Right. And so sometimes, and yes, sometimes you mentally are stuck in the valley of despair. You're not actually there. But mentally, you're stuck there because things were hard. Now they're getting better, but you want them to be even better than what they actually are, right? So we our psychology sometimes gets us stuck in this thing. And it goes back to a lot of things. Johnny said, the sun's not out, right? Like, It goes back into that. It's depressing. It's this. It's that. Like, I'm facing all these other things. I always put it as, you know, as a coach, like, I always put it as, like, off-court issues, right? Like, we have off-court issues happen, right? I get a flat tire. My car breaks down. Like, there's shit that happens to us outside of work yep. that affects our business. So that makes it, that can make it harder, right? Like,
yeah, but at the same point of that, Jimmy, though, like, depending on how things are going in the business, like there can be times when you're outside the business and those outside influences are horrible. But depending on where you're at on this graph, like if you're in the success loop, even if you're on that first phase, you walk in and you're still super happy because at least you're doing the thing, right?
Sure.
But imagine being in the valley of despair, then you have those external influences outside. Yeah,
right. That makes it super hard, right? Like that makes it even worse because that, and sometimes I think that is what happens, right?
Yeah.
Like you get in this valley of despair and then you're feeling this way, which you're giving off that same energy. Now the people that you're surrounded with are feeling that energy because you're in despair. Now you're giving the energy. Now they're giving it back to you. And you're like, no, I just need support. And they're like, well, I'm trying to support you, but you're not giving me any. You know, it's like this whole back and forth thing. And
yep.
and that's like, that's again, it goes back to who you surround yourself with matters. You know, yeah. and if you're not around the right people, it can really pull you down. Right.
Right. Like, 100%. It
can be really bad. And you need that person to go, hey, man, what's going on? How are you today? You and you that, just go, yeah. it sucks. Yeah. like you just have to.
Yeah.
Like,
and you
like,
need that person that goes, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're there.
Yeah.
Keep it sucking because tomorrow might be the day
tomorrow
that you
get might
through
be better.
It. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what you need.
That's the heart. But
the person that goes, oh, wow, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just go do something else. Like that person's not your friend.
No. the person that goes, yeah, maybe you should just go get a job.
Yeah. Oh, this is difficult. Oh, yeah. Why don't you go get a job? Yeah.
Yeah. How
nah,
easy
no,
be?
Why don't you get a job?
Yeah. yeah. But that's the hard part. So, again, who you surround yourself with matters. And, like, if you're not around the right team and the right brokerage and all the right people, like, that makes it hard. Like, you and I have each other to lean on, right? Like, but we even go outside of that. You know what I mean? Like, you have coaches. I have coaches and mentors, like, we go outside of this, even though I think you're one of the best coaches in the country. And I have you as I have you as a friend that I can call and be like, hey, dude, this is what I got going on. And you go like, Jimmy, you know how to fix this. Just like the 90-day businessman. You're like,
yeah.
who can I go? Like, you had to think about, like, who can I go to do this? You're like, oh, shoot.
If only I knew somebody.
Yeah, if only I knew somebody
that knew how to put a 30, 60, or 90-day plan together.
Right.
That was a world trainer, you know.
if only I had that person's number.
If only
number.
I had that person's number. Oh, look, Jimmy's calling me. How about that?
But we sometimes it's forest through the trees, right? So, but
yep.
yeah, but you get into that despair and you get into that.
Wait, sometimes is that how that phrase goes?
What, you can't see the forest through the trees?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah I've never, yes, my brain. When
do you,
when,
not, you not get that one?
I get it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no.
It wasn't even. That's not even a sports analogy. That, no, this is just like a
trees. what are we talking about here? How does trees? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
but you know it was funny. That, here's why. I'll bring this up. It's a personal thing, I guess. You know, when I was going through the hardest part of my life 2 years ago, I had lots of things, but my therapist was the one we were talking a lot, of course. And we were talking about the tree being in front of us, being out in like a desert. And we know that there's water. Like, and I used to tell him, like, it's like I'm really, really thirsty. I know that there's water, but I'm standing in front of this big tree and there's the water's behind it, but I can't see it. And I know that I can walk around, but it's like the sand I'm sitting in is quicksand. And what's interesting is this is even a valley of despair, because when you're there and you're stuck, right? There's he got that person just says it's gonna be all right on the other end, right? You're gonna get yourself out. You're gonna figure out how to get out of this, and on the other end, then you'll be able to walk around, right? And so when you use that analogy. Like I had PTSD, I flash back all of a sudden to 2 years ago when we were having that discussion about how you can't see what's behind you if you have something really large. But the interesting thing is with the right coaching, you know, and I used to tell him, I used to tell him this. This is interesting. Actually, this is all coming back. I used to say, I know that if I just walked around the tree, it would be there. But I'm so stuck. I need somebody to pull me and push me to get around that tree. And you know the sad truth to that is, it's not the sad truth, it's the truth, and with knowledge is power. I shouldn't say it was sad. What I had to realize was nobody can do that. What they can do is encourage you to do it, but you have to be the one that pulls yourself up and then actually moves. And when you're stuck like that, it feels impossible.
Yeah.
It felt like that was never going to happen. Lowest point in my life. You know, my family's gone one day. I get home. I'm a big family guy. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like I'm, and I was stuck there for a year. And I just said, I just need somebody to push me, but it has to be you. You have to be the one that does it with, like you said, that encouragement. Hey, this is growth. You're going to learn. There's that sun on the other side. There's that forest on the other side. There's that lake on that other side, whatever it is, right? And then eventually you grow. What happens? You grow strength. It's like bodybuilding, right? Like I you know, have a background in a lot of things. One of them, you know, is independent wrestling. And watching those guys bodybuild, right?
Yeah.
It's pain. There's a lot of work that gets involved in it. Then they get big and buff, and they're able to throw everybody around.
Right.
This is something that there's two quotes here that I got out of this that I wanted to share real quick that I thought was really interesting. Number one, whenever you feel the most uncomfortable, that's a spot that you should probably stay. Because the more that you stay in that spot, and here's what that means, because there's two things that I really want to hit home in the last 3 minutes that we have. Number one, if you're stuck in this cycle and you keep doing this, stop. Realize that that uncomfortable spot is probably where you should sit, because that's where you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Muscles aren't formed without doing the work of weight, right? I mean, look at, for those of you that know Jeff, for instance, you see him every single morning. I mean, look, you've seen his transformation, right? He motivates you. That's hard work every single day, yep. Right? It grows that. The other thing that happens, and I love this, listen to this. Nothing of substance can be made without somebody being uncomfortable. I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting.
What a really interesting quote.
Say that again.
Yeah. Nothing of substance can be made without somebody being uncomfortable. Anything that, like, look at this stuff that we have. Electricity.
Yeah.
You know, like the podcast, somebody banged their head up against the wall a million times to find the one way to make all this work for us. It didn't just work one day.
And it's continuing to work on it to make it better.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's continuing to work on computers and whatever else to make them better, I think. Or they're going to take over the world, one of the two.
So the thing that you have to realize is this. When you hit that, you're going cycles 1 through 3. Do not get distracted by, in our industry, the people out there that are trying to take advantage of you and get you back up to the first. Run whatever you're running now and stick with it, and then it will work, okay?
Right.
It's, you know, caveat. I mean, there's some weird stuff out there too, but, you know, for the most part, anything works. Mailers, are you farming? Whatever it is, don't do shopping carts. But whatever else it is.
Well, you can.
You can do shopping carts.
But it can't be your only thing.
Don't do shopping carts at all. it's the worst.
but again, guys, too, like, and I want to make sure we're clear on this. Like, they all work.
Everything works.
Everything works.
Yeah.
But there should be three pillars of your business. Like, if you just do farming, unless you're doing it on a very large scale, just the one thing won't work. Now, it might get you comfortable, and that's where you got to start talking about your goals, and we could go down a whole different path here, right? Yeah. Go down the rabbit hole. But we say all this, guys, to say this. This business can be hard. It can be difficult, but can also be very enjoyable when you're around the right people.
Yeah.
You know, and chasing the shiny object is sometimes what we do, but it's not always the best thing for us, right? It messes with our dopamine. We're up, we're down, we're trying to do all different kinds of things.
Right.
All the things work. Stick to them, right? Be the person that keeps digging. You're eventually going to find the gold.
And realize where you're at on this cycle. That's the biggest thing right there, guys. You have to realize where you are actually at on this emotional cycle. And if you're in the Valley of Despair, with knowledge is power. If you know that you're there, then you also know phase 4 is coming. That victory is coming. You just haven't gone through the 1,000 ways that it isn't going to work yet to find the one way that it will work. So stick to it so that you can get through it. I just want to read two comments here as we close. Actually, this will be a perfect way to close the show. Jessica says, I feel every call and show is tailored to me and what I'm going through. I appreciate you guys and all that you do. Jessica, that's because we have access to your private journal. And actually, that's all we do is base this entire show around you.
AI is investigating
you. And Jelly says, you have to be prepared at all times. As an example, put your gym bag in your car every day so that there's no excuse to get home and get self-talked out of going. Yep, that's it. So, guys, listen, at the end of the day, know where you're at on the cycle. Knowledge is power. And just keep digging.
Just keep digging.
Jimmy, you've been fantastic.
Johnny, you've been awesome.
And we'll talk to all of you next Friday.